The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today. Wakanda.
Welcome.
Casamigos' big shot of the night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. And I think this is the first time, maybe the second time, but tonight's big shot goes to the big man, Karl Anthony Towns. Big Cat. I mean, Cat is out there doing it. If you watched him tonight, there was a few moments tonight where you're just looking at this guy as a big that can pass, as a big that can shoot, that's got a lot in his bag. Karl Anthony Towns is the fastest player in Knicks history to record 500 points and 250 rebounds. Tonight, as the Knicks clinch their group play in the NBA Cup, I can't put down the cup. Karl Anthony Towns goes out there. He's a plus 25 with 23 points, 2 blocks, 15 rebounds, and he goes 5 for 5 from the free throw line, 2 of 5 from deep. Karl Anthony Towns is home. Kids from Metuchen, Jersey boy, grew up wanting to be on the Knicks, playing for the Knicks, and he's living the dream, and it's got to be a dream for Knicks fans watching this team go out there and score over 100 points a night and really start to get their chemistry and their flow together. Man, there's a clip that I'm watching on Twitter. Oh, and I should literally start a segment. And Keith McPherson's degrees of separation from athletes. Like, isn't it like Kevin Bacon's degrees of separation, something like that, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon? There's a clip where Karl Anthony Towns is being guarded by Mo Wagner. And Mo Wagner bumps him. And it's just so cold how Cat Kondo just takes the bump, looks at the ref, spins, fades away, bang! Mo Wagner forever will remember me riding around with him and his younger brother Franz on draft night. When I used to work at Roc Nation, I did social media, and I was tasked with covering his draft experience. We went to the Players Tribune. He had like an appearance at American Whiskey. We made a couple other stops. It was super cool, like just riding around with him, his younger brother, in I think we were in like a blacked out SUV, like an Escalade or a Suburban or something like that. We went to Slam. Where else did we go? I'm trying to think back now. This was 2018, but yeah, I got to be the guy recording and documenting, and got to live that experience on draft day with Mo Wagner in the summer of 2018 when he was taken by the Los Angeles Lakers. And he's in that clip right now that's going viral on NBA Twitter with Karl Anthony Towns backing him down, spinning off him, hitting the fadeaway in his face. 888-808-1019 is wide open now for sports talk. Whatever you guys want to talk about until I'm done here at 12. Ross is in Bergen County. Ross is always on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how you doing, man?
Good, good.
So, I was talking a little Rangers with you last night, a couple storylines around the league real quick. First off, I don't know if you saw the they got the Columbus-Calgary game out in Calgary tonight. It's kind of like they did some tributes for Johnny Gaudreau and stuff. I don't know if you
Oh, yeah, I did see the reception for that, yes.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool how it's, you know, a couple months removed from it, but they're still doing stuff to remember him, so that was a nice team tonight.
Yes, terrible story, but an amazing response from the hockey community and everybody, you know, celebrating his life and honoring him and his family.
Definitely. And then I don't know if you saw this thing. They got the Four Nations Cup coming up soon, kind of like their replacement for the All-Star game. They're going to have the U.S., Canada, Finland, and Sweden. They're going to announce those lineups tomorrow. So they're basically combining the World Juniors. They had a name for it a couple years ago, kind of combining that as well as the All-Star game, because they're obviously, you know, basing it off of this season's accolades. So I think that's kind of unique. So that's coming up too. But, you know, on the topic of cups, this whole thing with the Knicks tonight, you know, my stance on the cup, on the in-season tournament, I didn't like it at first. Now kind of watching it last year and the buzz are building around it, I like the premise of it. I'm glad the Knicks made it. But the one thing I don't want to see is I don't want to see them hang a NBA cup banner before they hopefully hang up an actual championship banner with this court. Because, you know, we'll never hear the end of it, just kind of like the Lakers
rose a banner and they put it up. I don't think the Knicks will do that in the Garden. If they win it, cool, but I don't expect a banner. What I expect, and they, you know, I have the quotes from Josh Hart and from Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson says he wants to win the NBA Cup to help his teammates that are on minimum salaries and two-way deals to get the $500K. Josh Hart says, no, yeah. I want to win because I want a damn watch. I want a new Audemars Piguet, so...
you know, I don't know if these organizations have the pulse of the people or the people, though, because, you know, they honestly, I'm going to assume the majority owners, front offices look at that, I don't say as much as they value a regular title, but I don't think they look at it as, I guess, you know, humiliating to some fans. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of Lakers fans that were, you know, hiding their faces when they hung that banner up. And some of them probably could care less. And it's kind of funny, Darvin Ham got fired the same year he won a title, technically. You know, in hindsight.
But, yeah, I saw a post today that he's got the same record as J.J. Redick so far.
Well, how about a staff, Doc Rivers and Darvin Ham? What a hell of a staff. They got, I mean, Milwaukee kind of rebounded, but they were just as bad as Philly at one point to start the year off. So, I mean, they got one hell of a staff out there. And really quick with the open mic. So, my uncle runs picks through FanDuel. Obviously, I'm not allowed to do it just yet, a couple years away. I've been experimenting with, like, anytime touchdown picks, and I've been doing them off, like, a single parlays each week, and I get burned by, like, one or two guys. I'm trying to eye up, like, two or three long-shot odd picks for next weekend. Tell me what you think. I'm eyeing up Nick Westbrook, Akine, obviously the living legend. He gets, like, three catches a game, but two of them are in the end zone. And ironically, the one time I hit on him, like, anytime, you know, straight out, put anytime touchdown money on him was the one week he doesn't have a touchdown this year. It was the game out against the Chargers. So Akine, Marquez, Valdez-Scantling, and Jordan Addison. You think if I combine those three-legger, that would hit?
For this upcoming week? Yeah, you know they're going to go deep on the Giants secondary. Addison just ends up being open because of all the attention that Justin Jefferson brings. I don't know. I feel like now everybody has caught on with Westbrook and Akine. Like, they just know that this guy is a touchdown maker, and they're getting him one-on-one, and when they get him one-on-one, they're giving him the ball. So I would think, you know, who are the Titans playing this week?
They got Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah, he's probably good money even if they know it's coming.
Well, that's what I'm saying, that, and I feel like I've been using that logic for the past 3-4 weeks, and yet the guy finds a way to do it every damn week. Against Minnesota, he went like 93-something yards. Last week, it was a blowout. He found the end zone twice. I don't know what it is with this guy. I don't know where he came from, but he's making the scene fast. And one more thing. I know I'm going a little long. I forgot to get to this. I don't know if you brought this up before. You see Fanatics Fest is coming back?
I did. I was talking about how the Yankees will be in town facing the Baltimore Orioles, but the Mets will be in Philadelphia facing the Phillies.
All right. Yeah, I mean, this coming back a couple months earlier now. I'm psyched on that because this past, I know we were talking about it a couple times. You know, you're a couple shows following it. Fanatics, they got some questionable stuff with their retail and, you know, some other stuff on the, you know, their platforms, but they think they hit it out of the ballpark of Fanatics Fest. It's just like the buzz it got around here and the fact they're bringing it right back to NYC We heard them talk about, like, L.A., Chicago, kind of branch it out around the country. The fact they're bringing it right back to Javits, I think, kind of speaks dividends to the reputation.
Wasn't it confirmed for those other cities? I haven't seen anything about it happening since in those other cities. It's going to happen in New York before Chicago and L.A.?
I heard them announce it, but I didn't see any dates. I saw it because they got, like, the official IG account, and I was looking. I didn't see any announced dates for any other locations.
Yeah, I don't know either, but I know last year I on purpose got out, but like Travis Scott performed and I had a really good seat in there, but it was raining and I had to get home to my wife and my son, and I was like, if I get stuck in this mosh pit, I'm beat. But I'm like, next year I'm gonna come prepared. Like, whatever rappers are there, if it's Travis Scott again, like, that performance area that they have is made for a concert.
Right. It was crazy. You'd be standing on a line. I remember KD just walked right past.
Yeah.
And they obviously was mobbed by security, but still.
Anthony Edwards. I saw Jake Paul.
Yeah.
I saw so many people. Yeah, Drewski. That's what I said about it. For $60 to walk in there, it's worth it for all the content that you will get just recording the people walking through. Roger Goodell. There was a
Hogan.
Ton of people. Hogan had one of the longest lines.
Yeah, they had someone for like every demographic, every age group. They
UFC, NFL, NBA. Yeah, it was great, man. It was a literal life-changing experience for me. I walked into it blind. I had no idea.
Absolutely, yeah. And the connections I was able to make as other people making. So no, it was awesome.
That's where we met. That's where I saw you for the first time in real life.
That's right. That's right, yeah. Crazy, man. Anyway, I took too much. Took long enough. So I appreciate you giving me the floor.
You got it, Ross. Thanks for the call. Shout out to Ross's dad as well. Met him at Fanatics Fest. 888-808-1019. Shout out to WFAN. I mean, that 3 days was crazy. I had the opportunity to host the Sunday show by myself, and when I say it was a life changing experience, man, I was able to meet Gary Vee. Gary Vee joined me live on The Fan that day, and I'm a big fan of Gary Vee, and he had no idea. And for me to be able to do that, like, I kid you not, in that moment, like, I had always wanted to meet the guy. I had been following his YouTube stuff and his Instagram stuff and just his motivational stuff and him being a Jersey guy. I'm like, man, one day I'm going to meet this guy. I literally had the receipt. I've met him now. I've been around him now. I've been to the office. I've been to his restaurant. Shout out to Tyler, shout out to Zach, shout out to all the people around Gary. But it started at Fanatics Fest, WFAN live there that Sunday. Gary just walking through, wanting to jump on, and he jumps on with me. And I'm telling you, in that moment, I could have, like, cried. It was just one of those, like, manifested moments where I'm like, I can't believe this is happening. I've been trying to meet this guy for, like, 6 years. Like, he's part of the reason that I did quit my job. He's part of the reason I did pursue my passion, listening to him. And now, like, I'm doing this job that I have in real time, and he's sitting next to me. I'm interviewing him. He does not know. But I was able to, you know, go to the office and connect with him and meet him. That's what I'm saying. It's a life-changing experience. Same thing with Michael Rubin. Like, I interviewed for Michael Rubin. More Keith McPherson degrees of separation. I interviewed with Michael Rubin when I was in my former career as a social media manager. I was in the Fanatics office. I sat with him, and I was going to be his social media guy, and it just didn't materialize. But then through a focus group that reached out to me and gave me VIP passes and put me in, you know, this like Sunday morning focus group before I went on air, I got to go into this like conference room downstairs and sit with Michael Rubin and his like right-hand three or four guys, and they asked us all questions about Fanatics, about the apparel, about ordering, but really about the experience at the Javits Center, and everybody in there was raving about it and talking about what they could improve for next year, but it wasn't like they had a bunch to improve, man. It was great, and I got to literally, like, if you follow me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, any of that, you guys saw all the videos with me and Michael Rubin, me and Gary Vee. I'm just like, I had no idea this was all going to happen, so I'm super excited for June when it comes back around, whether I get to host or not. Like I said, I came in there the first day just to support WFAN, and then I came in the Saturday. I think I jumped on with Perloff, Andrew Perloff, and just was there just kind of to support again. And I know there's people listening that I got to meet. I signed every single card, every single postcard, took every picture I could take with people, man. There was just so much love in that room. It was just all the sports fans in New York City and everything that like sports fans take in, all the TV people, podcast people, famous people. This year, though, if anybody from Roc Nation, Jay-Z, 4040 Club are listening, I did not get into the 4040 Club. I just, one, didn't weasel my way in, didn't have a way in. I could have probably tried a little bit harder, but I was trying to get in, and next thing I know, the 3 days were up. Man, I saw Allen Iverson. I was right next to Allen Iverson. That was cool, too. 888-808-1019. Josh is in Passaic, back on the Fan. Hello, Josh.
Hey, Keith, how you doing?
Good, man. Hanging out, holding it down.
So, first off, I just got to say, you know, after watching the Browns game last night, and I understand why people must enjoy watching, you know, Saquon Barkley versus the Giants that first game, because that was quite a scene to see with Jerry Jeudy and all, you know, they're booing him, and the guy gets, you know, 235 yards, one of the best games, like, of the year. Those things are, it's very cool, and I can understand why people are, you know, so into, you know, Saquon Barkley, all on the Giants, whatever. But here's another idea, Keith. Do you think there's any... I'll actually ask your opinion. How do you think about the Giants brought both Sanders, the quarterback and the coach?
No, I don't think that Deion... One, like, I think Deion needs to stay in Colorado and continue building there. And they have a good recruit class. And he himself said, you know, he's like, I got a kickstand up. I'm good here. I believe him when he says that. And then he also said he's about to hit the transfer portal like never before. Now he's got, you know, 2 years under his belt there and has really built that up. But I think he's out to be the conference champion, right? He's still got more to do there. I don't think he's ready to coach in the NFL. You know, like, I'm not saying he's a bad coach, but, like, there are better college coaching candidates that have been doing it for longer that should be elevated to the NFL before Deion Sanders. I don't think you need the package deal. But I think Shador, and he said so much that, like, he's going to be behind the scenes. He's not going to do anything publicly. He's going to make sure Shador is in a good place. If he doesn't think he's drafted in a good place, he'll fight against it, you know, quietly. But Deion is a professional, a businessman. He knows how all his business goes. And, like, you know, after talking to Connor Hughes, if you missed my interview with Connor Hughes, go back in the app to 10 o'clock. All this stuff goes to podcast anyway. Connor kind of swayed me on, like, you know, a kid like Shador Sanders, whose dad is Deion, like, he's always been famous. He's always had money. He's always had cars and watches. And now with NIL, you know, he's been rich for 2 years, like, you know, getting the millions in the NFL. Shador himself even said, he's like, I'm giving back to the collective. He's talking about giving his paychecks back to Colorado and helping those kids get their NIL money. So, I mean, I think it could be great. I think he might be the right quarterback for New York.
Just, you know, I really look and envy at the Chargers with Harbaugh and, like, you know, the roster, they hadn't done that great last few years, and they slimmed down on guys. They traded away the receivers, and, you know, they've been doing great this year, doing that in a playoff spot, and obviously it's different teams, but whatever with that. Anyway, though, before I get to the Devils, you know, like with the Nets, it's a very annoying thing that they're doing. You know, they start off, they win a few games, and they lose, and then they win a few games to get, you know, and they're like, okay, fine, now maybe this team could compete, and then they lose a few games. You got to pick a side. Either, you know, be at that 6, 7, 8 spot, play hard, or just lose out. I don't want the 10, 11
3rd. It's December 3rd. We don't know who or what they're going to be. I've enjoyed watching the Nets win. I think they're deep. They have some injuries. But, like, any given night, they could surprise you. Any given night, they could beat the Warriors. They go out and beat the Kings. Like,
right, they'll do that. And then they'll come out flat in the next 2 games.
Yeah, because you know what? It's a new head coach. It's a lot of players playing together for the first time, a lot of young guys. I'm not mad at the Brooklyn Nets. I'm actually more proud that the Nets aren't just tanking and losing and being bums. Like, any given night, they could compete. I was a little disappointed with the showing against the Bulls, whatever. But, like, how disappointed can you be? What are you expecting from them? I feel like this is so much easier as a fan to root for this team of guys than it was when we were the villains with KD, Kyrie, James Harden. Like, that was stressful.
I still like this team, you know, just like, you know, I got to know whether, you know, to get into, you know, into watching them or not. But they do have some exciting players. And then, you know, every night.
They got a good coach. They figured that out. You're watching a good basketball coach in his first year. You're not watching Steve Nash figure it out in his first year or Jacque Vaughn chew his gum and clap and give you the rah-rah. And then these guys get smoked by 50. Like, Jordy Fernandez is a good coach. Like, he's actually a basketball guy. And clearly those guys are bought in. I love the little thing they did with the college football helmets. I just think that they are rebuilding the culture. I feel like we got to stay tuned for the next few years, how things play out with the draft, how things play out with, I don't know, getting Ben Simmons up out of here, like some other moves, some other trades. Let's see what they do, trading like some of the veterans, Dorian Finney-Smith. Like Cam Johnson's been a lot better this year without Mikal Bridges. Like I'm cool with what I've seen out of the Nets.
That's if we know finally getting to see, you know, some of the rookies or at least the rookies from last year. Then we see it all, you know, like White had just put up like 20 points.
Yeah, I mean, knocking down threes. Keon Johnson.
I looking forward to drafting that don't do anything in the paint and all.
Yeah.
Anyway, going on to the Devils, and I see ESPN, they come with a little cute awards and stuff, and they have Mark Stone being like the underwhelming signing. Well, he kicked that right in the face last night. 37 saves, or 36 or 37, 37. 38, 39,
we'll round it up to 40.
A feel-good win, you know, a team you could not beat last year. And, like, it felt dominating. Even the Rangers put up a nice amount of shots. It just felt great. You know, I think also with Markstrom, the reason, you know, he's in the 20s in save percentage of on the league and the league leaderboard, I think it's only because, you know, that they got they have a lot of new defensemen now. You know, now you hope they get more comfortable. And, you know, they were, you know, sitting around with all the teams in top of the division, you know, before, you know, a few weeks ago, they had the same amount of points, like 4 or 5 games more. Now it's more down to 1, 2, 3 games. You know, hopefully, you know, they start to push a lead on these other teams. But just, you know, it's great for Tanaka, especially with these trash football teams. He thinks today I'm going to call. Have a great night.
Thanks for the call, Josh. Yeah, we had fun with the conversation last night with the Devils and the Rangers. I'll say this. It's early, but the Devils and Rangers are going in opposite directions, and it couldn't be more apparent than it was in that game last night. Valachek is still being trolled for his Instagram hockey comments. People are still trying to figure out what that means. Jack Hughes is literally like, I don't know what that means. What does that mean? He owns Igor Shesterkin. Wasn't trying to show him up. He's got 9 goals against Igor. Man, the Devils, you got to understand. Last year, the Devils were swept by the Rangers. The Devils were bullied, beat up by the Rangers. Physically, literally. So, like, they had a chip on their shoulder coming into the Garden, and they had something to prove. Meanwhile, we don't know what is going to happen with the Rangers the rest of the season. If you want to talk about that, call me up. 888-808-1019. I'm running out of time. I got 30 minutes left. BRB.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, I think this is my last one. Maybe I'll have another break. I don't know how it goes. Paulie knows how it goes. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Thanks for holding. Thanks for calling. Another 5-hour KM to AM. We'll do this again on Friday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Let's get to these phones. I don't want to keep people on the line waiting. Man, we talked about so much today. So it's open mic time. The calls are going to come in kind of random, but they're all going to reference something that we spoke on, and we'll continue to speak on it. Dwight's in Asbury Park, Dark City on The Fan. What's up, Dwight?
Yo, hey, man. Yo, your boy Tom Brady was running his mouth talking about defending the players. I like, he wasn't defending him when he was playing ball.
He was always crying.
I told your boy Sal Carter when he used to work overnight. I'm like, Brady, you couldn't even look at Brady when he was playing ball, much less touch him.
And you know what's funny? There's a clip circulating on the internet of the same player that, you know, got suspended, Azeez Al-Ashir. There's a clip of him on the 49ers with his arm around Brady's throat and Brady crying to the ref after because nothing got called.
Yeah, I was like, please. I'm like, you old punk, you stop. Need to stop it. I'm like, when he played a playoff game against the Texans, he ran to the ref, act like they're supposed to be his
bodyguards.
His O-line. I'm like, please stop it. Ray Lewis screamed on him on Twitter, telling him to play some damn ball.
Great call. Thanks for the call, Dwight. I'll go further with that because maybe somebody didn't hear earlier. I just retweeted it. I said, what we're talking about on air right now, so you can go see the clip on my Twitter, @Keith_McPherson. And like when I was live on air when it happened, and I didn't realize he wears number zero now, but seeing him as a linebacker with the 49ers at 51, I'm like, okay, I do know who that is. But Tom Brady now is safe. He's in the booth. He's an owner slash broadcaster. And not a great broadcaster, but it is what it is. The deal's already done. And I can't really undo that. But the quote from Tom Brady was, when you run, you put yourself in a lot of danger. And when you do that, I don't think the onus of protecting an offensive quarterback who's running should be on a defensive player. I don't think that's really fair to the defense. Maybe they fine or penalize a quarterback for sliding late, you know, and say, look, if we don't want these hits to take place, we've got to penalize the offense and the defense rather than just penalize a defensive player for every single play that happens when there's a hit on a quarterback. That's a quarterback who's regarded as the greatest quarterback of all time, the greatest football player of all time, saying that. Now, we all know Tom Brady wasn't much of a runner. He knew how to slide. But like I said, he was the biggest crybaby. You couldn't even touch him. The video that I just put on my Twitter, all it was, you know, pass rusher, the same guy that knocked out Trevor Lawrence, Aziz Alshire, you know, evading the pass rush and grabbing Brady by the throat and Brady going to cry to the ref. Completely different kind of play. And where I'm at with this play, I understand that the way it looks. Let me go back to this article I had. John Runyon's quote was, you were involved in a play that the NFL considers unacceptable and a serious violation of the rules. Video shows you striking the head neck area of Trevor Lawrence after he clearly goes down. You led with your forearm and helmet. It says you clearly had time and space to avoid such contact. But the Houston Texans, they weren't going for it. Nick Caserio came out and said, I probably speak for a lot of teams, not only the Houston Texans, but I think that all teams ask for consistency from the league. And I'd say in this situation, quite frankly, there's no consistency at all relative to the level of discipline that's been handed down. Three games is a lot. And I don't know. I think they're sending a message with that. They're protecting the quarterback. But my issue with it is it's so many other things. Yes, he can't lead that way, but what do you want him to do? The quarterback is on a design run, is outside of the pocket as a runner. He's not scrambling with the ball in the air. Yes, he slides feet first, but he slides late at the sticks. I'm supposed to just give him that? I'm supposed to just concede that? Yeah, you got it, bro. Like, I don't know. It's a tough play in the NFL. They're working on safety, but to me, it's soft. To me, it puts the defense in just a bind. Tom Brady even said it. What do we do? There's got to be some type of penalty. And I don't know how you police it, but these quarterbacks got to slide sooner. They can't slide late where they put these linebackers that are going full speed to try and stop them, literally put up a wall at the sticks. I don't know. And it's compounded because Trevor Lawrence had already been out with an injury. It was his first game back. It's a division rival. And what happened after with the brawl and the fans throwing stuff. And yeah, it's not a good look for the league. So the league's going to come down hard on you there. Anyway, 888-808-1019. Danny is in Yonkers next up on the Fan.
What's going on, Keith?
Hanging out, talking sports.
So, you know, man, after watching the Browns the last couple weeks, and especially last night's game, man, I want Jameis Winston to be quarterback in the Jets next year. I'm not sure what his contract looks like, but if we're going to lose, at least it'll be entertaining. Even this guy's warm-ups are entertaining, his pre-games are entertaining, his post-games are entertaining. Man, you got to bring this guy to New York. He would be like a one-man circus. It would be amazing.
And not even a circus, just like a comedy show. Like, he's a God-fearing man. He's a father. He's a married man. Like, you're not going to get any antics off the field, but you are going to get quotes, and you're going to get some wild games. They call it the Jameis experience. So, you know, looking at SpotTrack, he's on a one-year, $4 million contract. I think that's why a lot of people last night were screaming about, how do we sign Drew Lock and not him? Well, supposedly Jameis wanted to go there and play in Kevin Stefanski's offense, and he also knows Deshaun Watson, one, gets hurt, two, is trash. So it was just almost a lock guarantee that he was going to play. But maybe he's here. I just don't know why you would bring him here when Tyrod Taylor is under contract next year.
That's true. Tyrod Taylor is not going to be must-watch TV, though.
Maybe if they do a drama with him and Drea. Thanks for the call, Danny. Must-watch TV if they show the off season with Tyrod going back to Southern California to get Drea Michelle out of his house.
That's something that we got to see. How does that happen? You're trying to kick her out, the kids out. Supposedly she put money into the house to renovate the house. We're trying to buy the house off you. Tyrod's like, nah, I'm not trying to sell you the house. I don't want you living. That's crazy. Just for the drama and the turmoil and the headache that Tyrod has had to go through with Dre and Michelle, I think he deserves to start this week. I think he deserves a start. At least one. Come on, Aaron Rodgers. How about this? Aaron Rodgers' documentary comes out December 17th. So Aaron Rodgers, you get the next two starts against the Dolphins and the Jaguars. Win that game against the Jaguars and then sit down on the bench. Let Tyrod get the next one at home against the Jets and we'll see what he does. If he doesn't do anything, then you could come out and get smacked against the Bills. And then he should get the last one against the Dolphins again. You shouldn't play the Dolphins twice, man. Especially if Aaron Rodgers is out there turning the ball over. If Aaron Rodgers is out there looking like he's scared to take a hit. There's still plenty of football left here. Give us something. 888-808-1019. Plenty of hockey left, but some hockey fans are worried. Let's go to young Ari out in Rockland County. How you feeling? Ari, what's up, man? You got it. You're live. Oh, no, we lost him. I think he was a young guy worried about the Rangers, you know? I took some calls last year from young guys during the Rangers' magical run. It was a great time staying up to watch those Rangers wins. That window is closed, Paulie. I know you're putting your headset on.
I wouldn't say it's closed.
It's done. It's over, man. Last year is over. You got to trade Chris Kreider. You got to trade Trouba.
Those things are definite possibilities. I mean, they're not trading Igor. those things are definite possibilities. I don't think it's over, but I do think they need to turn
Something's
it around.
Gotta happen immediately.
They need to turn it around rather quickly because I do think Drury, and keep in mind the owner of the Rangers is James Dolan, and what he says goes, and if he wants Laviolette fired, they're going to fire him. And if he wants Kreider gone, they're going to trade Kreider and Trouba just to shake something up. I wonder if, now the Rangers have 3 days in a row off, you wonder if this stretch right here is maybe they try to get something done.
Yeah, maybe they get something done. Let's see who they have coming up. Penguins, Kraken, Blackhawks, and those are three straight home games. And after the way that the Garden looked with the Devils last night, like that was embarrassing. No quit in New York. I know you saw that video trending. A lot of empty seats. And like late in the game, they're trying to play like Dua Lipa and like club music to lift the vibes and try and drown out the "Let's Go Devils." Woo!
But what do you want them to do?
Woo! Woo!
That's the way sports works. What do you want them to do?
There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do when the Devils score in the first minute and a half. There's nothing you can do when you're going into the second period or the second period ends, you're down 5-1. I'm sorry. We were having too much fun yesterday with that. It was just payback. I'm telling you, as a Devils fan, watching last year and coming off of the playoffs 2 years ago, 7 games, knocking the Rangers out, and then coming back the next year and the Rangers bullied us. It was just in the making. You had it coming. 888-808-1019. Okay, Steve out on Long Island. You'll be next after this break. Keith McPherson on The Fan. We'll be right back.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Yo, yo, it's The Fan in New York for the fans of the sports on the field and the diamond and the ice and the courts. You know, every once in a while I get that off. A couple bars coming in. I got to rap something. I've been doing the NFL raps for 94.7 The Block. So now I think it's been like maybe a full year since I wrote a rap for WFAN. I gotta find the time. I got the time. Hey, and now I know we got the horn. I gotta come through with some bars, man. 888-808-1019. At this point, you'll probably be talking to C-Mac. I said I was going to Steve out on Long Island first. Steve, you're live. Steve.
Hey,
there he is.
Hey, Don, I'll keep this quick. I just want to talk about the Rangers. I think Trouba just doesn't have control of the locker room. I'm not sure if that's, you know, a hot take, but I think the locker room's clearly divided. I think when they announced Truba as captain, I think some people thought in the locker room that Kreider deserved that.
Sure.
And I think there's a little rift in the locker room. I think it's just divided, and I'm not sure they're going to be able to recover from it. So
that,
I think
Truba and Kreider on top of the rumors that they were trying to get rid of him in the offseason, and he kind of pushed back because he wanted to stay, and we heard the story about how his wife is set up, and this is where they want to be, and you know how business is. Like, it doesn't, none of that matters. Like, they're going to make a decision sooner or later for the best of the team, and we'll see. It's kind of crazy that they went from that in the offseason to, you know, 2 weeks ago talking about trading Chris Kreider.
Yeah, you just can't let that, you know, come out. It's the captain of the New York Rangers. You know, you got to keep that under wraps. So it's going to be tough.
Thanks for the call, Steve. I'll say this. People are questioning LaViolette. People are questioning all these guys. Who was it? Steven Avery? Who put out the video? My boy sent me the video, former Ranger, just pointing out all of the, like, flaws in the skating, bigging up the Devils. I'm like, that one game, Sean Avery, that one game last night by the Devils going into Madison Square Garden and beating the brakes off the Rangers, the ripple effects that it has had for not just, like, us here, but all of hockey. It's like everybody is chiming in on the Instagram hockey quote from Valley, and Sean Avery is giving his analysis, and obviously the, you know, Hudson River rivalry. Like, it just, I don't know. That was a crazy night last night. We enjoyed it. I came on last night. I was even saying to Paul, I'm like, I got to open up Rangers Devils. We never really get that chance, that opportunity. Juan Soto can wait. Aaron Rodgers can wait. Brian Daboll can wait. Speaking of Brian Daboll, let's go to Adam in Connecticut. What you thinking about, Adam?
Hey, Keith, first time, long time, and I love your Yankee takes. You're the real deal on that. I wanted to talk to you about Shador. I've been following him since he entered college football, and he's got obviously the toughness and the smarts and a nice arm, but the escapability, while it's there, it seems marginal, where at the next level, I really question whether or not he can shake that from his game or somehow become more athletic. And I know you played in college, and I'm just interested to get your take on that, because he looks like he could be excellent, but those habits I'm concerned about.
Yeah, he's not a runner at all. He's not fleet of footed at all, which is crazy when you think about the speed that his dad had. And like he's just not that type of guy. He can run once in a while. I've seen some plays with him taking off and running, but that's a straight line when the field opens up to him. As far as escapability in the pocket, he's a sitting duck. And like, that was a conversation from year one to two at Colorado about them improving the offensive line. They had to, because Shador was getting beat up. The toughness is there, like you said. He takes a hit and he gets up. But there definitely needs to be a little bit more wiggle, more escapability in the NFL, because like that's just the game now. Like, you got to extend plays. When the pocket breaks down, you got to be able to spin out or step up in the pocket and get out and continue to throw the ball looking downfield.
Yeah, it's like he has it in college, but it doesn't seem like that would translate at the next level.
The next level is a little bit faster. He'll have to work on it. He'll have to adjust. I mean, everybody talks about the jump from college to NFL and the speed. Thanks for the call, Adam. 888-808-1019. C-Mac is getting ready to go. My last call of the night goes to Rob in Cape May, New Jersey. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Keith. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, you got it.
Cam Ward, I love this kid's game. I think he's got the it factor. I think people may be overlooking him. I don't hear too many positive opinions on him. They say he doesn't he's a little hold the ball safely and all that, but I think he's really good, and I was wondering if you thought any chance the Jets might get him.
I don't think there's any chance that the Jets might get him, because the Jets won't be picking high enough to get him. I think that both the Raiders and Giants are going to be looking for quarterbacks, and it's going to be either or. I think Cam Ward is either a Raider or a Giant. I think Shador is either a Raider or a Giant as well. I think there is a lot of good word out there on Cam Ward. I think there are a lot of Giants fans that rather have Cam Ward than Shador Sanders. It's yet to be seen, though. I kind of swayed. I was talking about Cam Ward as, it's better. You know, this guy can be more refined and molded and sculpted by Brian Daboll, and he'll come in here without Dion, and then you know, talking to Connor Hughes, Connor Hughes is like, wait a minute. Wouldn't you rather the kid that, like, the millions of dollars, the fame isn't going to be a shock? The guy that's polished and his dad was a Hall of Famer. And I'm like, yeah, actually, it's a lot to think about. When they drafted Daniel Jones, it's like, oh, his temperament is good for New York. Yeah, but is he good enough to play here and succeed here? We shall see, man. It is December 3rd. We are talking about the NFL draft. C-Mac is coming up next. I'm going home, but I'll be back tomorrow night after Brooklyn Nets basketball. Thanks for listening to my show. Bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.